Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is a pleasure to welcome back to the program Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer Emeritus, Cleveland Clinic, Chairman of Persona's Medical Advisory Board. Dr. Roizen, nice to have you back with us here on the program. Thank you for making time for us.
It's great to be back, Gene. Thank you.
So, you know, the talk over the last day or so has been about the new testing for COVID-19 that would give us results within 5 minutes. How do you feel about all that? How does this change the game plan with all that we're dealing with?
Well, what you want to find is who has been infected and do we keep immunity? So the prior test was one that looked at antigen, that is the virus itself or part of the virus itself, and said, do we get infected? This one is looking, the shorter one is looking at antibodies and says, do we develop antibodies to it and do we keep them? This is really important because what you hope is that all the people who have gotten infected are protected from it and protected from it for a prolonged period of time. And secondly, that the people who have recovered these, quote, convalescents, who have high antibody levels, can donate that serum, and hopefully that will be helpful as a treatment. The thought is now it's being used in the intensive care units and research as a treatment in a number of places, New York City, as well as probably Chicago and definitely Cleveland. And I believe that what will happen is we'll be able to get small doses that we are able to give people as a preventive, if you will, for those who are the elderly and those most at risk will be able to get this in time, meaning it's going to take 3 to 6 months. But the new test identifies those who have the antibodies, thus have had the infection and have responded to it.
So are you satisfied with the progress that we're making strictly from the medical side? None of the political stuff, which goes hand in hand, but I'm mostly interested from your medical expertise. Is there anything that we should be doing that we're not doing?
No, we're in other words, I think we're catching up to where we would have liked to have been, but we're catching up and they're doing that well. I want to point out three real hopes. One is that Fauci had enough money in the NIH budget that he left, as I understand it, contracts very early for vaccine production, or and three of the four companies that he let early on, there now are 16 companies working on it, but he had enough money, I think, in the first week of January to let four contracts. Three of those four are in human safety testing. We should know those results in July or so, meaning that it proves to be safe and doesn't make things worse. That then goes into efficacy testing, and he has said that sometime into a month into efficacy testing, if it looks like it's going to be efficacious, he's going to gear up those companies where it looks efficacious, and we should have it ready. Now, he hasn't said this, but if you read between the lines, maybe in October. So that's one of the hopes, is that the vaccines in testing, at least one of them proves to be efficacious and able to produce in quantity. The second hope is they're doing a huge number of tests on new drugs, meaning they have over the next 4 months, we'll have a lot more indication on do we have any treatment that works. This next week, we'll know about it as a hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin together, we should know by the 10th of April on that. So that's the second main hope, is that we find one of these therapies, and there literally are 40 in testing by the World Health Organization and our own NIH. And the third hope is that it goes south to the southern hemisphere in mid or early April, as most of the coronaviruses do. If it does that, that'll give us the time to either have the vaccine or treatment, and we hope we get lucky on both of those, or at least one of those.
Dr. Fauci on CNN this morning made a prediction that millions of people will contract the virus, and is predicting that between 100,000 and 200,000 people will die in the United States from coronavirus. Does that sound accurate to you?
Well, he knows much better than the rest of us. I actually am hoping that it was half that number, but he knows much more. We you know, when you look at those numbers, sound huge, but every month we lose 55,000 people with heart disease. So this is, when you think of 100,000, 200,000, maybe we should be even more aggressive with heart disease, and maybe some of that will come out of this. But in fact, while those are huge numbers, they seem like they are possible. And what we're really trying to do is to cut it to less than 50,000 for this in the United States. So, but then we're trying to get it so it doesn't come back like the Spanish flu did and wipe out a larger segment of the population when it came back.
Everyone,
that's why we're working so hard on the treatment.
Yeah.
And I'm really, the progress on the treatments and on the vaccines is going very well.
Everyone is talking about, you know, the most effective methods that we can do right now is social distancing, is nonstop washing of our hands and disinfecting everything that we possibly can. There have been a lot of talk of quarantines and stay-at-homes this week. Do you think that there need to be more aggressive stay-at-home and quarantining to keep people away from each other right now?
Yeah, that's the only way of slowing it down. But at the same time, if you do that, you're slowing down the economy and causing, I'm afraid you would cause much mental anguish, illness, and even suicides and social unrest. So I think we're doing about as much as we can be at this time without causing those other problems to be even greater. So the other things people can do as are to strengthen your own immune response, are to get appropriate sleep, meaning 7 to 8 hours a night, plan on it, even though you're home or socially isolated, make sure you do plan on sleep and do regular sleep. Don't binge on TV so it interrupts your sleep time. You got enough time, plan for sleep, and then eating appropriately and getting the right nutrition. If you can't, you should at least be taking a multivitamin, but it really should be personalized. So should you be getting more vitamin C and chicken soup? Your mom was really right. So those things are very appropriate, and then managing stress as best you can. And there are a lot of ways of doing that that are on the internet. But it is, though, and then doing a little bit of exercise, but not too much more than usual, because people who do too much more than they usually do have a depressed immune response. So your immune system is what helps you fight this if you get it. And if he said 100 million of us are going to get it, that means one out of every three of us will get it. So you need your immune system to be able to fight it off and for you to keep healthy.
Some questions that are being texted in, and feel free to call or text 312 981-7200, 312-981-7200. The 815 area code, Dr. Roizen says, how much can you wipe with one Lysol or Clorox wipe? Will it transfer anything from one surface to another?
Were it to be dry, it would transfer. But as long as it still has moisture, meaning it has either the bleach in it or the alcohol in it, this virus is very sensitive to both detergents, to bleach and to alcohol. So that because of that sensitivity, we think it will be able to control all that as long as it's got some wetness with it.
The 312 area code, can I use hydrogen peroxide to wipe things down, to clean things? Does that work as a cleaning agent?
You know, I don't know what hydrogen peroxide does to surfaces, so I don't want to say you can use it from that standpoint, but it does kill the virus, as does ultraviolet light. That is, if you got an ultraviolet light or that you get the sun, that's why we hope it goes south. The sun has enough energy, and many ultraviolet lights have enough energy, and they've got to be of that wavelength that gets them enough energy to kill this virus, but they have enough energy to kill the virus. So that's one of the things. Hydrogen peroxide does kill it, and I just don't know what it does. Be careful of the concentration, because I think it does change surfaces. I'm not an expert in that.
John in Buffalo Grove, you're on with Dr. Michael Roizen on WGN.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I heard that the coronavirus is pretty much like the virus that causes the common cold, which everybody deals with and has been for some time. There's no vaccine for the common cold. Is it the fact that this is a unique strain that requires us to find a vaccine for it? I guess that's what I'm curious about.
Well, the coronaviruses are in the influenza B component of your flu vaccine. So we have three known ones that are in there usually,
right.
And they are this year. This is a different strain that has a much greater, we believe, and I'm going to say that we believe, because we don't really have enough population data to know, but we believe has a much higher risk of killing people and of causing damage. So, and has the other property that it makes it so uncomfortable, if you will, is that people without symptoms can shed the virus in their breathing, in their aerosol, as well as in droplets. And though that property makes it able to be transmitted, especially to vulnerable people, and to do harm. We don't know, because we don't have the data out of China or Korea. They didn't do population-wide testing to say, were there really 5 million people in Wuhan who got it and 3,000 who died, in which case it would be much more like the flu death rates? Or is this, as they reported, if you will, a 5.4% death rate with a predisposition for the elderly? So the interesting debate that you're hearing now, which I'm not obviously an expert in, since it's a medical expertise, not an economic one, is will the economic problem that is being perpetrated by the shutdown cause more deaths, more social unrest, and more problems than the virus would have caused? And because we were so late at testing, and because the Chinese and Koreans and Japanese didn't do what you would call population testing, we don't know whether it's 1%. Now, if you look at it, I look at it as the cruise ship may have been the ideal laboratory for this virus, it had a 1% death rate. Now, that's not to say 1% isn't a lot. It is. But it is less than we fear by a fair bit. And that may have made the policymakers do a different policy, meaning it may have been appropriate to give everyone or to expose people like we used to do with measles to very low doses or modified, if you will, infection with this so that you could get herd immunity from it that before we even develop a vaccine. But that cat got out of the bag. I don't know what the appropriate analogy is. So we just don't have population data to make that judgment. And so everyone's worried, and appropriately so, that this has a much, much higher death rate than the flu.
We'll get one more in here from Mary in Chicago. You're on WGN.
Hi. I was just wondering if he could answer my question in regards to pain relievers to take them. I know you're not supposed to take Advil because the virus feeds off that. I was wondering, like, neprosodium or plain aspirin, because I can't take acetaminophen.
Is that true about is that true about Advil, doctor?
No, Dr. Fauci. There were some reports from France about that, and the reason was that in test tubes, ibuprofen increases the one of the receptors. It's called the ACE2 receptor on pneumocyte type 2, and that's how the virus gets in. It does it to a very small degree, and in fact, in the studies, the large population studies done by large databases now, Dr. Fauci said there is no risk that is increased with ibuprofen. That doesn't mean you shouldn't take aspirin or other things. Essentially, you do want to, if you get a fever, you do want to minimize the fever, minimize the inflammation, and talk to your physician about it. But and make sure whether it is ibuprofen or aspirin or whatever, or Tylenol, acetaminophen, that you take it with a lot of water. The major risks of those, all of those, are minimized. The kidney problem from ibuprofen and the stomach and bleeding problem of gastrointestinal bleeding by having warm water before and after, so the aspirin lands in the water, not on your stomach lining. But in any case, we want you to take a lot of water with it and do prevent fevers, as fever is one of the, although it does help kill the virus, it also creates a lot of inflammation in you, which is why people break off plaque from their arteries, which causes heart disease, stroke, memory loss, and a whole bunch of other problems.
Mary, good luck with that, and thank you very much for the call. Dr. Royson, thank you very much for spending some time with us here today. How do you fall on food handling and food safety? We're going to talk with a physician in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in a moment, who put out a video about what to do when you bring your groceries home from the grocery store. He's put out this video that has something like 19 million views in the last couple of days. It's just blown up incredibly. How do you feel about, do we need to wash packaging and wash things that may have been touched in the grocery store before we handle them at home?
That's always better to do. Yes, we wash all the produce, et cetera. As far as food that's already been prepared, if you cook it to 140 degrees, for 15 minutes, you're killing the virus. So that's the data from the CDC on how vulnerable. And so if it's food that you're cooking, get to 140 degrees for 15 minutes. If it's food like apples or oranges that you're going to eat directly, yes, make sure you do wash them, especially lettuce and produce.
We're going to talk more about that in a second. Dr. Royson is also the chairman of Persona's Medical Advisory Board. and they offer some help if you want to check your immunity, where your immunity is right now, and they make suggestions about which vitamins that you might take to bolster your immunity. Is that right?
That's correct. You can go to mypersona.com. We have a blog or little information on how to increase your immunity, and well as there's a free test on what to do to increase your immunity.
Honored to talk to you again, Doctor. Thank you so much for joining us.
My privilege. Thank you.